Well, how are we doing, Fairhaven Church? Great to see you today. My name is David. If we haven't met, I'm one of the pastors on staff here. It's great to have you here with us today. Thank you. If you're a guest in any one of our campuses, we're honored that you would find your way here. And we hope that you'll find community and help us in helping you to get connected as we want to do that every single week. So thank you for being here. I do want to welcome our campuses, Springboro, Northmont, Beaver Creek, Classics, and all of you that are right here in Centerville. It's really, really good to have you here today. We are in a series. This is week three for us in a series as we're talking about prayer. And as we think about prayer, we're asking you, or we've challenged you to be in a 28-day prayer challenge, and we're about halfway through, and it's not too late. If you are hearing about this and you're kind of a late adopter and thinking, you know what, I think I would like to participate, you can do that. Just text the word challenge to 32,000, and you can go on beyond the 28 days that we're talking about here, because we believe that if we're all praying that God's going to do some amazing things in our lives, and amazing things in our church family, and amazing things hopefully in our communities that we live in. And so thank you for participating in that. Let me start out with some prayers. I don't know if you've ever prayed a prayer and hoped that God didn't hear you, like a crazy prayer. I remember when I was just getting ready to ask Kathy, propose to Kathy to get married. I still remember this. I can't believe I'm embarrassed to tell you this. I actually prayed the prayer, Lord, if this is not what you want, would you help me to get into a car accident where I break an arm or a leg or something like that? That's an honest, I actually prayed that prayer, and I'm embarrassed to tell you that. That was like 35 years ago, so hopefully I've matured a little bit then, but I'm so glad God didn't hear that prayer and didn't answer that one, right? Here's some funny prayers. These are actual prayers from kids. Pray, dear God, I need you to make my mom non-allergic to cats. I really want a cat, and I really don't want to ask my mom to move out. Wonder if God's going to answer that prayer right there, huh? Here's another one. Dear God, please forgive me for hiding my sister's favorite doll, and please don't tell her where it is. Here's another one. Dear God, I think about you sometimes even when I'm not praying. I'm glad, you know, that she alerted God about that, and he's probably pleased about that. Here's my favorite one, actually. Dear God, thank you for my baby brother, but what I prayed for was a puppy. That's hilarious right there. We are talking about prayer, and we're asking one question to make sure that we all are on the same page. And the question is this: why should we pray? I mean, we've been asking this question for 3 weeks in a row because it's important that we make sure that we understand and get this, because if God knows everything, and he does, and if God cares about everything, and he does, and he's got your best interest in mind and my best interest in mind, which he does, why do we need to pray? Like, shouldn't he just answer the things that, you know, he hears from our minds, and shouldn't he just take care of us, and shouldn't he do that? And the answer is he does. But the reason why we should pray is not to alert God about something that he doesn't know about, or to make sure that he gets on the program, you know, in terms of our life. The reason we pray is simply to know God better. As a matter of fact, that's the reason why we're looking in the New Testament together. We're looking at Luke chapter 11, so I hope you brought a Bible or device. We've been here 3 weeks in a row, actually, and we're going to go back there again because Jesus adds one more aspect to if you want to understand a conversation with God, it might want to include a couple of these elements. Because if you want to get to know God, there's some things that you ought to be doing in conversation with God that will help you in your growth and in your faith and in your journey with him. And so that's exactly why we've been looking at Luke chapter 11 for these last 3 weeks. It's really incredible. As a matter of fact, while Jesus was praying himself, that alerted the disciples to something because they saw something in Jesus that they really, really wanted in their own life. Let's take a look. Luke chapter 11, we'll start in verse 1 as we continue on, and this is what happened. Now, Jesus was praying in a certain place. Now, we don't know where he was praying. I've mentioned that to you. We don't know anything about how he prayed. In the first century, the culture would have been that you stood for prayer. And if you've been with us in this series, you know that at the end of this message, this talk, I'm going to give you 2 minutes of silence to connect with God, to pray with God, especially around the subject that we're going to be looking at today. And if you want to stand, stand. That was the culture in the first century, so we don't know if he was standing or kneeling. I mean, that wasn't the culture in the first century, but some people kneel when they pray. And if you want to kneel today, kneel. That's fine. you're safe here. We're actually going to turn the lights down in all of our venues and just give you an opportunity to connect with God. But Jesus is praying there. He was praying in a certain place, and we don't have any details at all about what Jesus was doing and how he prayed and what posture he was praying in, but it got the disciples' attention. I remember when I was in the eighth grade, I loved to hear a guy preach. His name was, see if you know him, Billy Graham. Anybody ever hear of Billy Graham, right? I mean, in the eighth grade, believe it or not, I mean, I loved to hear Billy Graham, not because I loved to hear sermons, because in the eighth grade, you're really not really all about sermons necessarily. But the reason why I loved to hear Billy Graham is because when you heard him speak, you knew he had met with God. And I still remember in the eighth grade being drawn to listen to him and just be fixated on watching him because I thought, I want to hear from God because I know that that man has met with God. And so as we think about prayers, we think about our own lives, Jesus was praying, and I have a feeling that the disciples watched that and said, wow, he has a connection with his heavenly Father. Jesus, being fully man and fully God, was praying to his heavenly Father. So here's what it says. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray, as the disciples learned from John. Verse 2, and so Jesus responded, and he said, when you pray, these are the elements that you may want to think about, that as you're communicating with God, these are the things that are really, really important. He starts off with, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. We mentioned this 3 weeks ago. We said that prayer really needs to start with praise, needs to start with adoration, so that we can articulate to God who he is in our life and what he means to us and how important and significant and how we want to surrender our lives. It's got to start there, because if we too quickly get to the daily bread part, or, hey, I need some things from you, what happens is if we forget to praise God and adore him through our worship and prayer, we lose track of the fact that we're not even sure if he's going to answer or if he's listening to us or if he cares. And so we start there. Because we said this, that in prayer, we get to rehearse the fact that God has the final say. Is that right, church? God has the final say. And so maybe today, that's all you need to hear, that if in prayer, you just get to articulate to God that you've got the final say. I want to do what you want me to do, and it starts there. Secondly, verse 3, give us each our daily bread. We talked about that last week, that God is the source of all things. He's not the resource, he's the source. That way we can come expectantly. We need to come boldly, because that's actually the story that he tells in verse 5 and beyond about how this guy went to another guy's house and said, hey, can you give me some bread? And the guy said, I'm sleeping. And the guy said, no, please give me some bread. And the guy says, look, I'm gonna wake up my family. And the guy says, no, please give me some bread. And so the whole story really about the fact that you and I need to come to God boldly and consistently and expectantly. And so that's what we need to do. And then he gets to verse 4, and it gets a little bit dicey. He says, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And next week, don't miss it, we'll address, and lead us not into temptation. What Jesus is saying in the beginning of verse 4 is this, as we're thinking about what our prayer life really ought to include, that we should be asking for forgiveness, which means that we're being really, really ready to give it away, that we're ready to forgive others in our life. That's what Jesus is talking about. So what I want to do with you today is I want to talk about the subject of forgiveness. And I want to look at it in two ways, because if you look at what Jesus says here, he really is talking about how we come to God in asking for forgiveness, and then we forgive others. What's really interesting to me is this aspect of prayer really is about the greatest command and the second greatest command. We all know it, right? I mean, the greatest command is that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind. And the second command is just as great, and that is to love your neighbor as yourself. And so as we think about our prayer life and we add these two elements, we're really accomplishing the command that God has for us and the second greatest command that God has for us, love God and love others. So I want to look at those two today to make sure that we're very, very clear about what Jesus is really saying here, because there, believe it or not, there's actually some confusion about what Jesus is saying here in terms of if you forgive or if you don't forgive, you know, will God forgive you and won't forgive you? And so there's lots of confusion. So we're going to try to clear that up today. Forgiveness is so quintessential in human relationships. It is the quintessential issue in all human relationships. In fact, I would tell you that forgiveness is probably the most expressive way that you and I can love another person. See, today, my guess is that as we're talking about this subject, every single one of us, this is relevant for. Because as we think about forgiveness, it's the most powerful expression of love, that you and I can love people by forgiving. But it starts with asking God to forgive us. So stay with me, because there's two aspects of what Jesus is saying here when it comes to forgiveness. So we're going to look at two things that Jesus says about forgiveness. The first is this, that we're to ask for forgiveness, which raises a question. Because as we're thinking about this and asking God for forgiveness, as we are in prayer and in conversation with him, a question rises immediately. And if you're already not thinking about it, let me prompt you, because this question will arise. And that question is this: why do we need to ask forgiveness if we claim to already be forgiven? I mean, why is Jesus suggesting that you and I, in prayer, that we actually ask for forgiveness, when you and I would claim, if you're a follower of Jesus, that we're already forgiven? That's a really important question to answer, and I want to answer that for you today so that we then can get to the second piece, and that's forgiving others. But let's start here first and answer this question: why do we need to ask for forgiveness if we claim to be forgiven? And here's the answer: because there's a difference, because receiving a difference between receiving forgiveness and asking for forgiveness. Huge difference between the two. As a matter of fact, we see it in Scripture, and when we see it in Scripture, sometimes we can be confused by verses that seem at, you know, face value to be in contradiction with each other. Let me give you some examples that you can find in Scripture. Here's 1 Peter chapter 3, and it says this: for Christ also suffered once for sins. And in the original language, it means for all sins. In other words, past, which is sometimes the hardest to get over, present, and future. So if you want to come into a relationship with God, as we're thinking about our relationship with God, God wants to forgive us of our sins, past, present, and future. That's what Peter's saying here, that Christ suffered in order that we can take care of all of our sins. And then we read another verse in 1 John, and it goes like this: if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How do you square this? Because it seems like one writer is contradicting the other writer. So let me see if I can try to explain this, because as we think about our prayer life, it's so important that we get this right and understand what Jesus is actually saying to his disciples. Because if you are one of his disciples and prayer is something that you want to engage in, I think it's really important that we understand and can get to this. So let's take a look at the difference between the two. The difference is this: salvation comes from receiving God's forgiveness. Salvation meaning that you enter into a relationship with God because God offers you forgiveness. Church, it's really important that we know that God sent his son Jesus to die on a cross, and he did that willingly for you, you and me. And then he, by grace, he offers it to us. So all we have to do is receive that forgiveness. And when we do, we enter into a relationship with God. Some of you are thinking, you know, that's really hard, because I'm not sure that I even deserve the fact that he would offer that to me. Well, I've got good news for you. You don't. None of us do. That's the beauty of grace. And of course, then the follow-up question is, well, wait a minute. What do we do with grace in our life? And how do we deal with good works, meaning the things that we do that should, you know, make God happy and bring pleasure to God? Well, this is important for us to understand. God offers forgiveness by his grace and grace only, so that when you receive it, you're motivated then to do good works. Is that right, church? You're motivated to that in your life. So we need to understand that salvation, meaning that you enter into a relationship with God, is not because you asked for it. As a matter of fact, you can't ask enough for it. He offers it by his grace because he loves you. And maybe today, just today maybe, you're thinking to yourself, you know what, I don't know if I'm really in a relationship with God. I'm interested in him, but I don't know that I'm really in a relationship with him. Well, I got good news for you, and that is that you simply could say today, God, I receive your forgiveness. Thank you for dying for me, and you enter into a relationship with him. Because when Jesus is talking to his disciples here about prayer, he's not talking about receiving forgiveness. He's talking about asking for forgiveness. So let me show you the second piece, but by way of a verse. To him, all the prophets, that's to Jesus, all the prophets bear witness to everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. That's why, one of the reasons why we pray in Jesus' name, because of the grace of God who offers to you a relationship and he offers forgiveness for you, catch this, past, present, and what, church? Future. That's amazing. The things that you haven't even done yet, Jesus has covered on the cross. That's incredible. So that's the first thing we need to understand. Here's the second thing. It's not only salvation, but sanctification comes from asking for God's forgiveness. Now, sanctification is a very, very big word. It's a theological word. And I wanted to give that to you today because it's a really important word. Sanctification in the Greek means holiness. So catch this. You enter into a relationship with God because you receive his forgiveness. Every day we become more like God, sanctification, because we ask for forgiveness. Where we recognize in our life that as we're living our life each and every day, there are things in our life that we're doing, attitudes that we have, where you're thinking, you know what, I don't wanna say that. I don't wanna act that way. I don't want to feel those thoughts. And we come to God and we ask for forgiveness, not because of salvation, but because of sanctification, because we want to become more like him. We want to become holy in our lives. Does that make sense, church? So then let me talk to you about asking, because asking includes two things. That when we come in prayer, Jesus is inviting his disciples, that part of our prayer life ought to be coming to God and asking for forgiveness. Asking has two elements to it. Let's make sure we get this. Asking starts with confession, and confession is verbally acknowledging sin. Where we verbally to him in prayer and say, God, I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have said that to my spouse. I shouldn't have bit back at work. I shouldn't have responded to my child that way. I shouldn't have said that to my friend. I shouldn't have posted that on social media. God, I'm really sorry. Confession is so important because confession is verbally saying that you recognize and you acknowledge sin or wrongdoing in your life. That's the first piece. It's a really important piece, actually, because that's the beginning place. The second thing is repentance. Now, here's the problem. When you equate these two as the same, that's where we make the mistake. See, confession is verbally acknowledged. Repentance is the desire to kill that in our life. It's interesting to me that I have discovered, maybe you have as well, that there are times in my prayer life when I'm asking God to forgive me because I'm confessing to him, I know I shouldn't have said that. I know I shouldn't have done that. And then you know what we do? We do it all over again. And so we've got the confession part perhaps down, but we need to get to the repentance part, which means we're willing to kill it. One of the things that we did, my wife Kathy and I, in parenting our four sons, we made a big mistake. And if you're a parent, maybe you're making the same mistake or you made the same mistake. It's really interesting, when our boys, when they were younger, they were boys, and they would fight or something would happen and, you know, a punch would be thrown or a truck would come across the side of a head or something, you know, like that. You know, you have boys, right? It's amazing. So we'd get them together and we'd put the boys together here and I would look at one and I go, you tell him you're sorry. You tell him you're sorry. Come on, you gotta tell each other you're sorry. And so the one son looks over and goes, I'm sorry. And this son over here goes, yeah, I'm sorry. And they don't mean it at all, right? In fact, they do want to kill each other. And so even in our parenting, we were learning that, wait a minute, we can't tell them to tell each other they're sorry. I mean, that's the beginning place, but what they have to learn and understand is how to kill that behavior in life. Am I right, church? And that happens to us as adults. That we come to God and we ask and we ask and we ask and never really get to the repentance part. Church, maybe today in your 2 minutes of silent prayer, you want not only to verbally acknowledge something in your life, but by the power of God, listen, the power of God, you can kill it. That's how addictions are taken away. That's how marriages are healed. That's how you, in your single life, you get to draw boundaries. That's how in high school, you get to have the right attitude. That's how in all area of our life, as we approach life and approach our work and approach money and approach all the things that we see all around us, we can not only verbally confess it, we can repent, we can kill it. And that's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, in your prayer life, you may want to come because your first part of this forgiveness aspect is that you connect with God and that you ask God and that you confess and that you repent, right? And so that's so important as we think through this. And so when we talk about forgiveness, forgiveness starts by asking for forgiveness, that we would confess and that we would repent. And maybe that's where you're at today. You know, as we've been thinking about this prayer series, and I didn't say this in the other services, so I'm going to tell you, I've been praying that God would do miracles. That God literally would do miracles in our lives and in our church family. That today, maybe, it starts the beginning of a journey where we verbally we confess. And then beyond that, we repent. Where we kill these things in our lives so that we can live out our lives so contrary to everything that we see. Because church, we are citizens of a different world. We're citizens of the kingdom of God, which means that because of God, we can live differently. Secondly, as Jesus is talking here about prayer, he says, ask for forgiveness. And then the second one is forgive others. This is a little bit tougher. It's harder. But here's what I know about you because I know it about me. I'm not gonna ask you to raise your hand, but if I were to ask you, how many of you have been wounded by someone in your life? Every hand would go up. We all have something in common, and that is that we've been wounded at one level or another. Sometimes it's smaller, sometimes it's greater. Sometimes it's something that can be fixed a little bit, sometimes it's something that can never be fixed. We all have wounds in our life, and Jesus is saying, that as you're praying, part of your prayer life has got to be about you asking God for forgiveness so that you can confess and repent. And the second piece is that you can forgive others. It's so important because, catch this, if there's one thing in my life and in your life that will keep us from reaching our full potential, it's unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is torture. I've said this before and I'll say it again. Unforgiveness is when we drink poison and hope the other person dies. Unforgiveness is when we're cold, it's when we're bitter, it's when we're resentful, it's when we deal with all these things and it impacts us spiritually, mentally, emotionally. All these things impact us in our life. And we need to make sure we get this right because Jesus, as he's talking to his disciples and saying that this is part of our daily lives because you're gonna wake up in the morning and you're gonna need to say to yourself as you're praying and offering to God, Lord, I need to forgive Tom today again. I need to forgive Susan again. It's kind of a daily thing in our lives because we need to remind ourselves of the forgiveness that we've received from God in order to forgive others. You see, as we're thinking this through, it's really important for us to answer this question or this statement, because some of us have heard this statement before. God won't forgive us if we won't forgive others. Anybody ever hear that before? In fact, in Matthew chapter 6, you read this. You actually read where Peter is having a conversation and the disciples are there, and Jesus says that if you don't forgive others, God won't forgive you. Uh-oh, how do we make sense of that one? Well, here's how we make sense of it. It's really important that we understand this. Jesus is talking about relationally. He's not talking about eternally. Jesus isn't talking about our relationship with God eternally. He's talking about our relationship with each other. He's saying that if you don't forgive each other, you won't understand the forgiveness that you get from me. Does that make sense, church? And so in Matthew chapter 6, when Peter says, so how many times should I forgive? And Jesus says, well, 70 times 7. I don't think that Jesus was trying to do math. I think what he was saying is, every single day, depending on the level of your wound, you may need to get up in the morning and say, God, I want to become more like you. And I forgive Tom, and I forgive Susan, because I haven't done that today. And so every day, we just go through the aspect of forgiving others. It's so important that we understand this in our lives. There are two ways to forgive, and I want to make sure that this is clear as well, because if Jesus is saying that we need to ask him for forgiveness in order that we can confess and repent, and if we need to forgive one another, there's two ways we do this. This is really important. Watch this. The first is one-sided, where the offender, the person that has offended you, the offender, based on the wound you have, the offender doesn't ask, doesn't repent, or doesn't confess. It's one-sided. Let me give you an example. Jesus on the cross, remember these words? When Jesus says, Father, forgive them. He said that not because people asked for forgiveness. That was one-sided forgiveness. That Jesus wanted to forgive everybody who receives that forgiveness in his life. And it might be that today you need to forgive somebody and it's one-sided. See, I've heard people tell me, well, I'll forgive them if they ask me. Oh, no. Our job, our responsibility, if you're in a relationship with God, it is part of our spiritual life to forgive others. Sometimes it's one-sided. It's one-sided sometimes because it's a small offense. Somebody cuts you off, you know, coming into a highway. It's a small offense, you know, unless you get their license plate and Google it. It's a small offense, and they may not ever ask you, you know, or repent because of something that happened in your life. Or they're gone, meaning that they move out of state, they move somewhere else, and you don't have any contact with them. You don't have any connection at all with them, and so they're gone in life. Or thirdly, they may have passed away, where they're completely gone, and there's no possibility of them coming back and saying, I'm sorry, please forgive me. So when Jesus is asking us to forgive others, sometimes it's one-sided. That makes it very difficult when it's one-sided. There's a second way to forgive, and that's transactional. Transactional forgiving is when the offender desires for restoration and reconciliation. Now, let me make sure that you understand the two of them, because they don't have to be together. See, restoration means that you begin a relationship again, or you restore a relationship that may have been broken in some way. Reconciliation means you go back to where you were, or you reestablish the relationship. Make sure it's important that you understand that you might be restored in a relationship, but you may not be reconciled in a relationship. In other words, you may see this person on a regular basis, and so you might be able to be restored, but you're just not having lunch, right? And so we need to make sure we understand the difference. There could be one-sided forgiveness. There can be transactional forgiveness. Certainly, God is asking us to do our best in order to have transactional forgiveness in order for relationships to be restored. Sometimes that's just not possible. It's just not possible. So as we're here today, I don't know where it is for you, but there might be an opportunity for you during this 2 minutes of prayer for you to forgive somebody, one-sided. See, Jesus is saying that if we come in prayer and we ask for forgiveness, we remind ourselves not only of the things that we've done to offend God, but we remind ourselves that God forgave us and we didn't deserve it. Therefore, we forgive others. I don't know about you, but there's a few people in my life over the 50-some years that I've lived where I need to talk to God every day about them. Because it's amazing how quickly I forget. So I need to, in my prayer life, say, God, I pray that you'd help me forgive Tom today. I pray that you'd help me forgive Susan today. And you put your, whatever name it is for you. Those aren't two names in my life, by the way. They're just names that you and I can think about. Every day we do that because it reminds us that we need to forgive others, the power of that in our life. I'm gonna give you 2 minutes and just a second to think through your own life. It might be today that you're confessing, but you haven't gotten to the place of repenting. Or it might be that you have lost track of forgiving somebody, and you know what? You see them on social media. You see people talking about them. Or you bring something, you know, a thought comes back to mind in your life, and you're like, oh boy. And so today, again, or maybe for the first time, you're ready to let go because you're in torture, and that is not God's design for you. That's why he says, let's look at verse 4 again, as we go all the way back, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. This is what Jesus is saying. If I were to paraphrase it, Jesus is saying prayer includes confession and repentance to prepare us to give it away over and over and over again. Am I right, church? Would you just bow with me for a second? And we're just gonna dim the lights in all of our environments. And we're gonna give you an opportunity in silence to just talk to God. He wants to hear us. He wants to hear our confession and our repentance. He wants you by name to forgive those that have wounded you, whether you're in relationship with them or not. God, we pray that you would hear us. I pray, Father, that as we lift up our voices to you, not only would you hear us, but Father, would you bring about transformation that can only happen because of you?